Do you ever have one of those moments in your life when things just really don't make sense? Or is it just me that experiences that? More importantly, have you ever had a moment when following Jesus simply didn't make sense? What do I mean by that? When his word cuts across everything that you would consider reasonable. When God calls you to do something which takes you far outside of your comfort zone. Maybe there's been a time in your life when you've read the word of God and you've thought to yourself, Lord, this is too hard for me to understand. Well, friends, we're not alone. Even the followers of Jesus had times when they didn't understand what he was saying. In John chapter 6, verse 60, it says, many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? Now, bear in mind, Jesus' disciples had been with him for a while at this point. They'd heard him speak. They'd seen miracles take place. Yet they still struggled at times to understand what it was he was saying. I think in many ways, John chapter 6 is one of the most revealing chapters in the Gospels. Jesus has already performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000. Crowds continue to flock to him. They are eager for the bread that fills their stomach. But then Jesus says something to them that's far more radical. He calls himself the bread of life. He tells the crowd that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood if they are to have eternal life. In John chapter 6, verses 53 and 54, we read this. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise that person on the last day. For the disciples, for those that were listening, this language shocked them. To the crowds, this sounded scandalous. It was offensive. It was incomprehensible to them. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And John 6:60 captures one of the great crises of discipleship. What do you do when God's truth challenges your understanding? What do you do when Jesus' words offend your pride or stretch your faith or demand your surrender? As we look into the word this morning, I pray that God will guard our hearts and he will guide our minds to the truth of his word and that we will learn how to apply what he says to our lives. My sermon today is entitled, Go and Follow When It's Hard to Understand. And God calls us to hold fast when reason escapes us. He calls us to trust him when we falter. He calls us to trust Jesus because we may not always understand what's going on, but we can always trust our Lord and our Saviour. In every circumstance, in every situation, we can trust him. First point I want us to consider is the crisis of faith. When the word offends the flesh. John 6, verses 60 to 61. Many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, does this offend you? There are many in the world that are offended by the gospel. Many in the world that are offended by the words of Jesus. There are those who don't want to understand the truth that we understand. That Jesus is Saviour, that Jesus is Lord, that he is the way, the truth and the life. That there is no other way to Father God except through him. You know, one of the things Jesus never did, he never softened his teaching to make it more acceptable. He never softened his words to make it more palatable to the people that were listening. Jesus never apologized for his words. And friends, as we share the truth of God's word, as we share our testimonies, as we tell others about Jesus, we must never apologize for speaking truth. The world may be offended, the world may not like it, but it's truth. And it's truth that transforms. It's truth that changes. It's truth that brings us from darkness into God's marvelous light. What does Jesus do here? He exposes the root issue. He asks if they are offended. The Greek word that's translated offended, in the modern English, we would get the word scandalize from that root Greek word. Caused to stumble, to trip up, or to be ensnared. That's the root of that word. And the truth is that Christ is a stumbling block to those who were too blind to see. Christ is a stumbling block to those who want to try and find their own way, to find their own meaning, to be their own God. But Jesus is God, and he is the only way. It's not a message the world wants to hear, but it's the message of truth. And it's truth that saves. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, we read this. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. Why do they do that? Because the cross challenges human logic. The cross challenges what the world says is right. The idea that salvation comes through the suffering and death of a crucified saviour defies what the world would say is wisdom. But friends, our faith is not built on what is logical. It's built on what is true. The death of one man, fully God yet fully man, 2,000 years ago on a cross. His death, his resurrection, his conquering of the grave. That's what sets us free from our sin. That's what saves us. Communion, we just took it together. We were reminded of his blood that was shed. We were reminded of his body that was broken for us. Jesus paid the price that we could never pay. He paid the debt that we could never pay. Why? Because he loved us. Why? To restore us to relationship with the Father. Through faith in Jesus, through faith in his sacrifice, in trusting him as Lord and Saviour, we are forgiven. We are redeemed. We are assured of a place in heaven. The world doesn't listen to the truth that we proclaim. The author and preacher John Piper, he once said this, "Faith in Jesus is not merely accepting his gifts, but trusting his character when his ways are confusing." Jesus has given us the gift of eternal life. Jesus has given us the gift of knowing that our sins are dealt with. All of our sin, past, present, future, dealt with at the cross. We need to trust him. We need to tell others that they must trust him too. And John 6, it calls us to trust the heart of Christ, even when we find his words confusing, even when we don't fully understand. We are to walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, there are those times when God will reveal himself to us. There are those times when we will sense the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts and our minds. But there are times when we're confused. There are times when it doesn't make sense. But we can still trust. When we don't understand what God is doing, when perhaps the healing that we're praying for doesn't come, or something that we've been wrestling with God in prayer about for ages isn't answered. When obedience in faith costs us dearly, we need to remember that our faith is not about our comfort. Our faith is all about commitment. Commitment to Jesus, commitment to Father God, commitment to following him and trusting him and loving him, just as he continues to love us. Even when we're confused, even when we're afraid, he has promised he will never leave us or forsake us. Friends, remember, the Holy Spirit is closer than our own breath. The Holy Spirit dwells within each and every believer. Yet there are times when we feel that God is distant. He hasn't moved away from us, but perhaps we've positioned ourselves so that we're not looking at him. We're meant to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We're meant to focus on him. We're meant to look to the cross and live. Yet sometimes we just look at the circumstance that's in front of us and forget to look up, to forget to raise our voices in praise, to forget to trust in the one who spoke this universe into being. Friends, we don't worship a God who can't. We worship a God who can. We worship a God who does. We worship a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we can ask or think or imagine. But it's according to his will. It's according to his plan. It's according to his purpose. And we need to trust in him. We are called to listen. We're called to act. We're called to be disciples of the living God. And real discipleship begins where our convenience ends. The clocks changed last night. We all got perhaps an extra hour of sleep this morning. And we're willing to come to the house of the Lord and praise him and worship him, listen to his word. But there are many in this world that will have taken that extra hour and not been thankful to even wake up this morning. Some of us are thankful for every breath. Some of us are thankful for the simplest of blessings. You know, in your kitchen, in this church, you have a tap that produces clean water. Friends, there are many in the world that would fight to get this glass of water out of my hand. The world says, you need more. God says, I give you what is sufficient according to your need. Is it convenient to park outside this church? Not particularly. We discovered there's a new housing estate up the road that wasn't there when we last visited this church, and we've parked up there, and hopefully we're not going to get clamped. But that was convenient for us. You know, we could park there, walk back, we're able-bodied. But for some, oh, no, I couldn't go to Pitsy Church. No, oh, there's nowhere to park around there. And, oh, they're in the middle of nowhere. You ever been to Ashendon? That really is the middle of nowhere. But people make excuses. And I'm told now that in the 21st century, the majority of people find out about our churches and check us out on the internet before they'll ever step through a door. Because it's convenient. Jesus doesn't call us to a convenient life, friends. He calls us to a life of service. He calls us to a life of commitment. He calls us to a life of discipleship, pressing on that narrow road until he calls us home. There was a young missionary couple, and they went to a remote tribe in the middle of nowhere, even more in the middle of nowhere than Pitsy or Ashendon. And they went there to share the gospel. And after 2 years of ministering and preaching and doing outreach, one day they were really discouraged. They sat down and they prayed, Lord, we don't understand why you sent us here. We've not seen anything happen. That very week, there was a villager who came to their house and said, we've been watching how you've lived, how you've behaved over the last 2 years. And we've seen the love and the patience that you have, and we want to know more about your God. 2 years of striving, struggling, but others were watching. Friends, people in this community will have seen you arrive at this church this morning. They may have absolutely no idea what goes on in here, but your faithful attendance is sowing a seed that may cause curiosity in the lives of your neighbours who one day will come to that door. And maybe they'll come in a little bit apprehensive because you look really scary. Or maybe they'll come to the door and they'll say, "We feel like there's something missing. Tell us about this Jesus. Who is he?" And friends, you may not be the best evangelist in the world. You may not know the original Hebrew, Greek or Aramaic of Scripture. But you know that Jesus is your Lord. And you know the time that you came to meet him for the first time. You know who you were and who you are in Christ. You know the changes that have taken place. And you can share something of how God's love has changed your life. You could talk about his mercy. You could talk about his grace. And yes, there might be those who are offended by what they hear, that they have to give their lives to Jesus, that they have to trust someone other than themselves. But maybe God will change their hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And we'll see a harvest of the lost being found in him. Faithfulness in confusion, often that's followed by fruitfulness in God's timing. Do you trust that God can bring fruit, fresh fruit into this church? I do, because God can do everything. Remain faithful in prayer. Trust him. Second point, the cross reveals who truly believes. John 6, 66 to 68. At this point, many of the disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, "Are you going to leave?" Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life." This moment, this is one of the most defining moments in all of Scripture. There are many who've walked away. There are many who have chosen to take an easier path. There are many who say, I'm just not comfortable with that. And the crowd thins out. Following Jesus is easy when the bread is free. Following Jesus is easy when the miracles are frequent. But when Jesus speaks about the cross, when Jesus speaks about suffering, when he speaks about sacrifice, when he speaks about total surrender, that's when many turn back. That's when many walk away. I will have Jesus in my life if I can fit him into this little corner or this little box and it doesn't affect what I want to do. That's the way that many think, isn't it? Jesus demands at all. We sang earlier, above all powers, above all thrones, above all things that this world has ever known. Jesus must have first place in our lives. We must truly believe in him. We must truly trust in him. Peter's confession here, it's beautiful. The Greek phrase, "you have the words that give eternal life." Literally, it's utterances of life without end. Eternal life. Friends, what we're doing here, it's a rehearsal, if you will, for eternity. When we step into eternity, we will be there praising and worshipping our God forever. Church, it's a little bit of a small picture. I know some Christians that don't really enjoy praise and worship very much. And they complain if too many songs are sung in a service or a verse is repeated a few times. When we're in glory, we're not going to stop praising and singing to our Lord. So I suppose in some ways we really ought to get used to it now, wouldn't we? Peter recognises eternal life is not found in understanding everything. Eternal life is not found in the ways of the world. Eternal life is found in trusting in the person of Christ and only in Christ. It's not Jesus plus something else. It's not Jesus plus our works. Though if we love him, we should want to serve him and do things for his kingdom, for his glory. But our works don't save us. It's not Jesus plus a specific denomination. It's not Jesus plus a specific Bible translation. Jesus and Jesus alone is what saves. R.T. Kendall said this: faith is doing what God says, even when it doesn't make sense, because you trust that he knows more than you do. These words are so true. I've been a Christian now for something like 40 years. I've been ministering in one way or another for probably over 30 years. And over the years, I've met a number of people who seem to think that God should be taking advice from them, not the other way around. You ever met anyone like that? I'm sure we all have. For years, I worked in the City of London and I worked with accountants and lawyers. And many of the accountants and lawyers I worked with would, I think, quite happily have given God advice, especially if he paid for their billable hours. Yeah, most accountants and lawyers don't do things for free. There's always a monetary desire behind what they do. But I've met people who are so arrogant and think that they know more than the creator of the universe. Friends, we're human, we're finite. Yes, we can know a great deal and we can gather a lot of knowledge, but none of us is equal to God. Faith is doing what God says, even when it doesn't make sense, because you trust that he knows more than you do. This is almost the mantra that we should write down and stick on our fridges. Trust God, he knows more than I. Trust God, he knows more than you. When Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? He was acknowledging that even when he didn't understand, even when he struggled, he knew there was nowhere else for him to turn. He knew there was no other place of salvation. He knew there was no other place of safety, no other place of truth. Listen to the wise words of Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. There are parts of Scripture. Well, all parts of Scripture are fantastic, but there are some parts of Scripture that just feel like golden nuggets, like diamonds shining. We must trust our Lord in everything. Our faith, it's not blind. Our faith is trusting in the one who sees perfectly. In our age of information, there are many who will idolize understanding or knowledge. Many want to figure out God before they want to follow God. Many almost want a checklist ticked off before they even attempt faith. But friends, our discipleship begins not with an explanation, not with a full story. It comes with our submission to him. To accept that we're sinners, that we need a saviour, to repent, to turn to him and him alone. To follow Jesus for us means even when I can't trace his hand, I will trust his heart. I will trust his purpose. I will trust him and him alone. I'm sure all of us at some time or another have seen a tapestry. And if you imagine standing before a tapestry but seeing it from the back, the back of a tapestry is full of tangled knots and threads. The back of a tapestry is difficult to comprehend. But when you turn that tapestry over, you see a beautiful picture that's being created. There's a masterpiece that's there. And for us, friends, faith is living on the side of the tapestry that's all the threads and the knots and the tangles. We often see things that look confusing, but we believe that on the other side, Christ is weaving beauty in every thread. That everything we go through has a purpose, that everything that happens to us has a reason. This morning on the journey here, I have for some reason ignored what my sat nav was saying about the road that I should take to get here. And we took a much longer route, but actually arrived earlier than we expected. And I know there are those who struggled to get here this morning because of some kind of accident or problem on the roads. And I think that my ignoring the sat nav this morning was actually a good thing rather than a bad thing. For some reason, I felt I should ignore the instructions that something that was worldly was giving me and just trust what I was feeling inside. That doesn't always happen in my life. There are times when I pray and ask God to prompt, and I believe that he can, but it feels like he's silent. I trust that God is working, even when I can't see it. Friends, I'm sure you know that even when you can't see it, God's at work in your life, in your circumstance. Third point, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Jesus says in John 6:63, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. Jesus is drawing a sharp contrast here. He's comparing the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. If you want a Greek lesson, sarx and pneuma. The flesh, that really represents human reasoning, natural understanding, self-effort, if you will. But the spirit represents divine revelation, represents transforming power, represents movement, breath, if you will. You know, when Jesus was talking to the disciples about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, he wasn't calling for literal cannibalism. He was talking about spiritual communion. He's the bread of heaven. His words are life. And when Jesus says we must eat his flesh and drink his blood, what he's actually telling us is that we must believe in him fully, that we must trust in him, that we must receive the sacrifice that he has given. That's the only way of salvation. Author and preacher Charles Stanley wrote this: obedience to God is the pathway to spiritual understanding. We often want understanding before obedience, but God gives understanding to those who obey. Ooh, obey. That's a difficult word, isn't it? What Charles Stanley is saying here is that revelation follows surrender. We must be fully surrendered to God. We must trust him in everything that we do and everything that we say. We must allow God to work in us and through us in every moment of every day. Not just when we feel comfortable, not just when we feel awake because we've had an extra hour of sleep, not just when everything is going smooth, every circumstance. Let me ask you a question, and no, you don't have to shout out an answer. Just think about it in your head for a moment. Do you trust God more than you trust yourself? Do you trust God more than you trust yourself? Your answer will be quite revealing. We're meant to fully trust God in everything, aren't we? Omniscient, omnipotent, all-knowing, all-seeing, almighty God. We're meant to trust him more. But we don't. Our flesh gets in the way. Romans 8:6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. When the world seems hard, when the word of God seems hard, when obedience is difficult, when obedience is heavy, we have to ask ourselves, am I trying to understand what's going on through the Spirit or through the flesh? Am I trying to see God in this circumstance? Am I listening for his voice? Do I see his guiding hand upon me? Or am I trying to draw my own map as I go? It's the Spirit who opens our eyes to the beauty of truth. The truth of the gospel is something that once offended us, but now we know it's what saves us. The gospel, the bread that was broken for you, Jesus, the one who was sacrificed for us. At the heart of the gospel, John 6 is the heart of the gospel itself, because Jesus is the bread of life. He was broken for us. He gave his life so that we could have life. He suffered in our place. On the cross, Jesus' body was torn. His blood was poured out. He became the sacrifice for us. The Old Testament is clear that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And Jesus' blood, the price that he paid, it was sufficient for all who will believe to be washed clean. The one who said, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood," knew that very soon he would give his flesh and blood for our redemption, for the redemption of his disciples, for the redemption of all who will believe. The bread of life was broken so that the hungry could be found, so that the hungry could be filled. At Calvary, Jesus satisfied the righteous wrath of God. He bore our sin, he bore our guilt, he bore our shame. And 3 days later, he rose triumphant from the grave. We don't worship a dead saviour, we worship a risen Lord. We worship one who has conquered the power of death, the one who has set us free. That's why Peter could say, "You, Jesus, you have the words of eternal life." Eternal life is found in the risen Jesus. Let me give you a call to action. Go and follow when it's hard. Friends, discipleship, it's not a hobby. It's lifelong surrender. Church is not a social club. Yes, we can be social. Yes, we can have friends. Yes, we can have meals together and socialise. But church is not meant to be a social club. We are meant to be a group of people that proclaim Christ to a lost world. As I said earlier, not all of us are evangelists. Not all of us are comfortable standing outside and beckoning people to come to Jesus. But all of us have family, all of us have friends, all of us have colleagues or neighbours. People that we know that we can share the truth with. But Jesus, he's not looking for fans, he's looking for followers. He's looking for disciples. He's looking for change and transformation to come in the lives of those who know him as Lord and Saviour. Will you follow him? Will you follow him even if the message is tough? Will you follow him when the circumstances are dark? Will you trust him? Will you trust his word to provide you with the encouragement that you need, the truth that you need to keep on keeping on? Will you be the people who remain while others walk away, while others choose the broad way instead of the narrow way? Will you keep faithfully moving on? Author and preacher Max Lucado said this: faith is not the belief that God will do what you want. That was perfectly timed. It would have been better with a drum roll, wouldn't it? Faith is not the belief that God will do what you want. It's the belief that God will do what is right. And sometimes doing what is right means trusting him. Trusting him through tears, trusting him through confusion, trusting him through the unanswered prayers. We must go and follow Jesus even when it's hard to understand. We must go and hold on to the word of life when others walk away. We must go and feed daily on the bread of heaven. We must spend time in the word of God, learning more about him, discovering more about him, drawing closer to him. Maybe you're one of those people. Perhaps you've been coming to church for years, and yet you've never really fully trusted in Jesus. Maybe you've admired him. Maybe you've even thought he said some really interesting things. But friends, all of us need to come into that relationship with Jesus. All of us need to trust him as Lord and Saviour. All of us need to repent. And even if we've repented before, years ago when we first came to him, perhaps we've allowed certain things back into our lives that really shouldn't be there. We really need to ask ourselves a question daily: is there anything that I'm doing or saying that is offensive to God? Is there anything I'm doing or saying or even watching on the TV which Jesus is unhappy with? Friends, we need to turn our eyes fully on Jesus. He alone is the one who can fill the hunger of our soul. He's the only one who can give us eternal life. He is the only one that we can trust for salvation. Friends, if we've given our lives to him, may I encourage you, call you deeper in your relationship with him. When Jesus asked the 12 and said to them, "Will you go away?" He wasn't just asking for loyalty. He was inviting them into spiritual maturity. To keep on, to keep learning, to keep growing, to keep following faithfully. Faith that only follows when it's easy, that isn't faith. Faith that follows in the dark times, that's true faith. When the world presses in, when the voice of the world says that we're stupid for what we believe, we must persevere. We must push forward. Romans 10:17, it reminds us, faith comes by hearing. That's hearing the good news about Christ. The gospel is the way of salvation. The gospel is truth. God has reached down to us. Yes, faith in Jesus may be hard at times. His word may be difficult for us to understand. But just because we pray and the answer is delayed doesn't mean he doesn't care. If we pray for a miracle and it doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen in the way that we expected, God is still God. Friends, let our lives declare, even when I don't understand, I will stand on the word. Even when I don't see what the outcome is, I will trust you in the storm. So friends, let's go. Let's go even when it's hard to understand. Let's go when we cannot fully see. Let's go and rest in the one who never fails. Friends, may we go forth from this place today, trusting the one who has all understanding. the one who is able in every circumstance to lead us, to guide us. May we trust him daily. May we seek his will. May we know his love. And may we be willing to witness to those that we meet of the truth that we know, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth in your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to apply it. Help us to live it day by day. Lord, I ask for your blessing to rest upon each and every one that's here this morning. And for those who are unwell and couldn't be here, Lord, will you bless them and heal them right now from whatever it is that is binding them, Lord, from whatever it is that's holding them back. And may each of us, Lord, have a new vision of you. May you reveal yourself to us again. And may each day we look to you and know that our help comes from you. Thank you for the salvation that we have. Thank you for that blessed gift of eternal life to all who believe. Lord, I pray that you will grow and prosper your work in this place, that there would be many that would come and encounter Jesus for themselves, and that, Lord, you would grow your kingdom, and that, Lord, sinners would be saved. Help us to proclaim truth. Help us to be salt and light in this dark world. Lead us, Lord, according to your ways and your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.